This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Schools around Wisconsin and the country have seen greater mental health needs among students since the beginning of the pandemic. This week, a national mental health campaign put out a report evaluating each state on their policies that support mental health in schools. The Hopeful Futures campaign ranked Wisconsin 11th in the country for its youth mental health policies across categories like funding supports, school climate, staff training, and community partnerships. But the report found room for improvement, especially when it comes to access to social workers and counselors in mental health treatment. We're learning more about what mental health programs are in place in Wisconsin schools, how they're funded, where they could be improved, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, a student, or work at a school, do you see enough access to mental health treatment and counseling? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Katie Eklund is an associate professor in the University of Wisconsin-Madison's School Psychology Program. She co-directs the School Mental Health Collaborative, a research center on campus. Katie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
I know this was a concern even before the pandemic, but how much has the pandemic raised the need, the awareness of mental health issues facing kids in schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we know that one out of every five students before the pandemic would be likely to experience some type of mental health concern from the time, sometime between preschool and when they graduate from high school. And so certainly there's a large amount of need in schools, and that has really been exacerbated by the pandemic. I think things like kids not having access to their friends, a lack of social connectedness with others and connection to adults, certainly has increased rates of mental health concerns. So educators are definitely faced with challenges in trying to meet some of these needs in schools.
Can you talk about the role of different types of staff at schools? A school psychologist, school social workers, school counselors, different jobs, all part of the picture here. Can you tell us how they all fit in?
Yeah, there are many different school-employed mental health professionals that can help meet and address children's needs. I myself worked as a practitioner for 10 years in schools, first as a school social worker, and then later as a school psychologist, and really see that these are critical and important needs within schools. Each of them work together on teams. Some communities have access to one role more than another, but counselors, social workers, and psychologists all work together in tandem to best meet children's mental and behavioral health needs.
Do we have enough of them, those different types of roles in schools? This report I just referenced suggests no in Wisconsin. They have recommended numbers of, say, psychologists per student, and they say Wisconsin falls short in some of these categories.
Yeah, Wisconsin actually falls short in all three categories, unfortunately. The national recommended ratio for school psychologists is one school psychologist to every 500 students. Our state mean right now is 1,500, one professional to 1,500 students. So we're probably three times the recommended ratio as you think about school psychologists. That number is actually worse for school social workers. The recommended ratio is one school social worker to every 250 students. And our state mean is one social worker to about 2,000 students. We have similar challenges when we think about school counselors as well. So Wisconsin certainly I don't think is unique compared to national averages that are out there. We look very similar to the national average, but we do face a shortage of these professionals to be able to step in and help fill the shortages and meet the needs of students in schools.
At his State of the State address this week, Governor Evers announced a $15 million investment in schools' mental health programs. Here's a listen.
Every public school district can opt in to receive these funds, no matter how big or how small. With this investment, kids in every corner of our state will have increased access to mental health support through their schools, on top of investments we've made in our budgets. Schools will be able to use these funds to provide direct mental health care, hire and support mental health navigators, provide mental health first aid and trauma-based care training, or provide family assistance programs, whatever our kids need.
We mentioned some of those professionals there. Mental health first aid, trauma-based care training. Can you talk about the roles those could play in schools?
Yeah, mental health first aid really focuses on training individuals and schools and youth-facing agencies to be able to recognize signs and symptoms of mental health concerns that kids might be experiencing. I'd say over the last decade, we've done a better job of training teachers and those who work with children on how to recognize some of those signs and symptoms. Here in Wisconsin, we've been fortunate to receive a Project Aware grant. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction was one of many states that received Project Aware funds with a goal to increase kids' access to mental health services by not only offering those services at school, but also increasing referral pathways to community services. So again, the overall goal there is to increase the number of kids and families that can access care.
We're talking about mental health in schools here in Wisconsin with UW-Madison School Psychology Professor Katie Eklund. You can join in if you have a question or maybe an experience to share as a student, a parent, or a teacher. Call it at 800-642-1234 or one of those professionals we've been talking about, a psychologist, a counselor, social worker in a school. 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about mental health programs and resources in Wisconsin schools. Katie Eklund stays with us, a school psychology professor at UW-Madison. Katie, I wonder if you might be able to share some advice for parents who have concerns about the overall mental well-being, the emotional well-being of their kids. Maybe not that acute emergency situation, but just like, you know, over the last month or two or year or two, they're a little worried about what they're seeing. Where can they start?
Yeah, we hear from a lot of parents who have concerns, especially over the last year or two, given the challenges the pandemic has posed. And I'd say, you know, my advice to parents is to make those connections early on with your child's school. You know, as a former school psychologist, we work to build partnerships early on with parents. Certainly, hopefully you're a part of a school community that's made those connections early on. But reaching out, knowing that there are school mental health professionals at your school who are willing to step in and assist, whether that's a school psychologist or social worker, individuals in your school are trained to address some of these concerns. So making those connections early on, I think, are helpful. Certainly, we want school to be a safe place for kids. A lot of times we think about mental health as only encompassing when kids are having challenges or concerns, but we also want kids to be able to experience mental wellness, right? To be thriving, to experience success at school and in life. And so I think when parents can really make those positive connections at school, that certainly can pay off in the long run. But if you have a child who's experiencing concerns now, being able to reach out to the school to see what ideas and supports they might be able to provide. And oftentimes they are able to also link parents with community connections. So services in the community that could be a benefit not only to the child, but also to the family at large.
Are there things school leaders can do to create that mental wellness framework you just mentioned, as opposed to just dealing with problems, which I know is also important?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important pieces is promoting a positive school climate. So I think when we think about mental health supports, certainly those universal or school-wide supports are key. That includes aspects of student belonging. When we think about student safety at school, not only thinking about physical safety, but emotional safety. Do kids experience that in their classroom or school? Making sure that kids have access to things like social-emotional learning in their classroom, where they're learning basic coping and problem-solving skills. And then certainly encouraging schools to do things like screening and early identification. So if we, similar to how we have vision or hearing screenings in school or academic screenings, what does that look like for behavioral or mental health concerns so that we can recognize those signs early and be able to help provide outreach to students who might be demonstrating concerns early on?
I want to look at rural Wisconsin a little bit, Katie. I've talked on the show over the years about sometimes a lack of access to mental health care treatment in a lot of rural communities. To get access, you might have to drive a pretty long way to get it. Also, I've heard from rural school districts that, you know, there are different specialties in teaching that they have a hard time, recruiting people to do. Do those problems come together at schools? Are we having trouble getting psychologists, counselors, social workers in those rural districts?
Yeah, we absolutely are. Certainly rural school districts do employ school psychologists, social workers, and counselors, which is excellent. Oftentimes we find that school-employed mental health professionals are sometimes the only services that kids might have access to in the community. But we do see shortages there as well. We've seen the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction really work to outreach to rural schools. They've received a number of state and federal grants to increase services around the state to be able to fulfill positions in places where individuals might not have thought to work before. And so I think some of these initial state and federal grants have really helped. It certainly hasn't solved the problem, but at least have provided some initial steps to increase access to services in rural communities.
And we've talked about creating a school of mental wellness, a community of mental wellness at schools, some about dealing with maybe more long-term problems with kids. What kind of things do we need in place for that moment of crisis for a student? Hopefully you don't get there in the first place, but when it happens, what can schools be ready to do to deal with that acute moment?
Yeah, so I really think about services within schools as being a public health framework that we think about not only those universal supports, but what happens in between. We know that kids might be in crisis or they might be experiencing challenges or barriers to learning at school. So again, I think we often just consider what are physical needs like vision or hearing concerns or what might be academic challenges that kids are facing in the classroom. But certainly we also know that behavioral or social emotional challenges can be an additional and important barrier to learning. I really think schools can not only, as we've talked about today, employ more mental and behavioral health providers, but also increase their connections to community agencies. We have a lot of excellent services here in Wisconsin of mental health services in the community. And certainly we've increased mental health referral pathways so that if there's a need that can't be met at school, that we have mental health agencies and referrals that kids and families can access in the community at large as well.
As we wrap up, Katie, is there one thing that you would say if asked by a policymaker, a school administrator, hey, what is the one number one urgent top priority we can do to boost the mental and emotional well-being of our kids in schools?
Oh, great question. One, I'd say encouraging school districts to prioritize funding and time for mental and behavioral health services to kids, and really thinking about how we might provide state and federal funds that would offer tuition remission for those who elect to pursue careers in the mental health field. So I threw two in there, but hopefully you see how those two things might go together.
Katie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yes, no problem. Thanks for the invitation.
That's Katie Eklund, associate professor in the University of Wisconsin-Madison's School Psychology Program. She was with us today to talk about what kinds of mental health resources and programs are available in Wisconsin schools. Coming up, President Biden announced yesterday that Russia could invade Ukraine, quote, in the next several days. We take a closer look at Russia's latest moves and statements with an expert in the politics of that country. Now, Molly Stentz joins me for the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the largest piece of the funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Almost halfway through the hour, looking now for eight more people to give in that next half hour. Your gift right now really is important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on each and every day.
And hey, thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That last conversation we looked at, a national story. This big report came out on mental health, mental well-being in schools. We focused in on what's going on here in Wisconsin with somebody who's worked in this field for a long time, got up-close personal experience and some research to back it up. It's the kind of conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
And WPR is listener-supported. That means it's really your donation that makes all of the topics possible every day here. Choose an amount that works for you and make your gift.
Now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer, become a sustainer. That way you decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and you set it up then to be ongoing.
This is such a good point. A sustaining gift is this powerful way of donating because it's reliable funding for the programs you count on every day. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift, and those donations add up to a big impact here. You choose the amount. Could be $10, could be $20. Become a sustainer right now. You can do that online, WPR.org, or give us a call, 888-202-2552.
You tune into the Ideas Network, and every time you hear something compelling, the Ideas Network, it's a unique service here in Wisconsin. Not every state does this with their public radio system. It's got a lot of programs that you can be proud of.
They're available on WPR because listeners like you join together to support them. Be part of the community that makes this unique resource possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving $1 a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin public radio listening. When you think about it, that's a really good value. You get a lot of radio for, you know, less than the price of a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Dollar a day, what is that, like $30 a month? You can set up as a monthly transfer, comes out of your bank account. You could charge it to your credit card. We try to make it easy. Make your gift now. Any amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 7 more people now to support WPR programs the next half hour to meet our goal. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, support the programs you value and ask for that WPR long sleeve t-shirt. It's a navy shirt. It's got the WPR logo on the front, Wisconsin inspired design on the back. When you give $20 a month or more, ask for yours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations each and every day here on the Ideas Network. We really do count on you to help make it possible, to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.